Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good, Steve. Good to be here again.
And yes.
It's hard to believe a whole nother week's gone by, and here we are on the evening before Pentecost Sunday, which is tomorrow morning.
Yes, it is.
Or tonight at sundown, depending. No. For the disciples, it would have been tonight at sundown.
Exactly.
But then in the morning would have been the real celebration.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you don't know what I'm talking about how the Jewish day begins at sundown. Anyway.
You have to explain yourself.
That's yes. Right. And before we talk, my experience has been, and I don't know, Steve, if you've had this experience, but we are used to, as Christians, talking about Pentecost, because we know Pentecost is the day the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 people in the upper room. And many Christians don't realize that Pentecost is one of the feast days of the Lord that's given in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, those of you who have taken my Torah course, of course, we know that. But we use the Greek word Pentecost, which means 50 days. The Hebrew word Shavuot is the Feast of Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Feast of Weeks because in the Torah, God tells the people to take the first Sabbath after Passover and count 7 weeks. And then the following day is Pentecost.
Right.
So because that comes out to 50 days in the Greek version of the Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint, it got to be called Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the word we use in English. The Hebrew word again is Shavuot. And as you see, it's connected to the Feast of Passover, and it's connected to the Feast of First Fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And the year that Jesus died, of course, he died at Passover time. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits, as we talked about a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Because he's the first fruits of the resurrection.
Right.
So he did first what we're all going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's the first fruit. And the Feast of First Fruits was actually originally a harvest feast. It was the first harvest. It was the barley harvest.
Right.
Which was an important grain in the Middle East. But then, when you counted out these 7 weeks and made the next day Pentecost, this was also originally a harvest feast, but it was for the wheat harvest. Mm-hmm. It was a much larger harvest. And so the Holy Spirit falls on the 120 people in the upper room who are then, as we talked about last week, empowered to do ministry and bring in the biggest harvest.
An abundant harvest.
Abundant harvest, which involves literally the whole world and is really still going on.
Yeah.
I mean, this harvest has been coming in now for 2,000 years almost.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat how God orders his feast days in the Torah to prefigure Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming, the plan of salvation. And of course, it's all internally consistent. And it all makes sense.
Right.
Which, if you've taken my Torah class, you've heard me say that a million times, that, you know, the whole plan of salvation is outlined in the Torah.
Exactly.
And when you look back from our vantage point, it's just so amazing that all this plan unfolds right down to the comparisons of the harvests and the spirit and the sacrifices. And the, mm-hmm. it's really just amazing. But it's a huge harvest that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit coming upon these people in the upper room.
Right. You know, if you're listening and you haven't studied the Old Testament, and maybe this is the first time you're hearing the show, it's really helpful as a believer to get back into the Torah, get back into the Old Testament, to understand and to really develop a better understanding of the plan of salvation as it unfolds and how all this connects together. Because, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. Mm-hmm. I came to fulfill it.
Right.
And when you start to see how the Feast of Pentecost, you know, like you're saying, Passover, first fruits, mm-hmm. Pentecost, mm-hmm. how it all fits mm-hmm. with the, how it's all prefigured in the Old Testament and how it comes yeah. to fulfillment in the New Testament.
Awesome.
It's just awesome. And you can see that it's not by chance and it's not, you know, an accident. This is planned out. God plans all this. It's
right.
decreed from the
right.
foundation of the world that this is, you know, this is his plan.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't fall that day and then he realizes, oh, today's Pentecost?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
What a great coincidence.
What a great coincidence. That. Glad it worked out that way.
Yeah. And also, of course, when you study Torah, you realize that of the seven feasts of the Lord, three of them are pilgrimage feasts, mm-hmm. one of which is Pentecost, Shavuot.
Right.
So when you read the second chapter of Acts and you read the account of the people that are in the streets and Peter's preaching and all these guys are talking and they say, aren't these guys Galilean? And we hear them in our own language. And then the word takes great pains to describe where all these different people are from that are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're all there is because Pentecost, Shavuot, is a pilgrimage feast. So all these very observant Jewish men from all these different places are in Jerusalem for the feast.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So Peter has a great audience, not only the people who normally live in Jerusalem, but then all these Jews from all over the Mediterranean, all over these other places that are mentioned there, are there yeah. in the streets too, because they hear this driving wind and they all come over and say, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And some of them speak different languages.
Yeah.
And apparently they don't all speak Hebrew or Aramaic. Peter starts preaching and they go, wow, how come we understand this guy?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is really neat.
Do you have that handy? You want to just
yeah.
read it real quick?
Yeah. And this is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each one of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongue of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, what does this mean? But others said, scoffing, they have had too much new wine. The flesh. Yeah, there's the carnal.
Exactly.
There's the carnal.
These guys are just drunk.
There's the carnal guys right there.
Yeah, these guys have been partying all night.
Speaking all this gibberish, what's going on?
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So, again, this internal consistency of the Bible is so amazing that all
yeah.
these, it says all these faithful Jews and converts to Judaism, because remember, some Gentiles came into Judaism, probably
mm-hmm.
not a lot, but you know, many, they all were there doing their pilgrimage, and
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, this amazing event happens, and this kind of messy fisherman, you know, is all like dressed in normal clothes, and he's not wearing like all the cool stuff that the Pharisees wear.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just dressed like a poor fisherman.
Right.
Gets up and starts proclaiming this word and starts quoting from the prophet Joel and starts talking about David and starts talking about Jesus and you guys killed him and he's Messiah. And man, I mean, they're just cut to the heart, it says.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what are we going to do? And, you know, he says, repent and be baptized. And so this first sermon, I mean, this is our Peter, you know, we always kind of like to talk about, you know, kind of what a big mouth he was. And he's always like, doing goofy stuff. And now look at him. Yeah. He's really come a long way.
Yeah.
You know. Because once the Holy Spirit falls on him, now he's a different person. He has the heart, mind, and words of somebody that he wasn't even a few minutes before this happened on Pentecost morning. And this is what, of course, then leads to not only Peter, but all the other people that were in that room going forward and evangelizing.
Yeah.
And eventually going to Samaria and going to Greece and going to Turkey and going to all these Gentile places in Rome. And, you know, Rome was the capital of the world. I mean, you know, they lived in the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
They were surrounded by Roman soldiers. They were surrounded by Roman government. I mean, Rome was the capital of the world that they knew, literally.
Right.
But the word was going to go there, too.
Right.
And it was a matter of this empowerment that they had received. They then went out and proclaimed it and evangelized it, and they were bold.
Yes.
And they were different people because of what happened Pentecost morning.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was going to read a little bit more from the Acts.
Yeah, yes.
So this is Acts chapter 2. Now, this is down to verse 36. Peter, you know, Peter's still proclaiming the word, and he says, therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they cried out, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added to that day.
Pretty good altar call.
Pretty good altar call.
Peter had never done that before.
And you know what's interesting? And you know what's interesting? As I'm reading, I'm seeing, as he's saying, for this is the promise to you, your children, and all those far off.
Mm. Wow.
You know, and this is before the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And Peter
reaching way down to us.
It's reaching way down to us. And Peter proclaims this by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting what he said there. At that,
it becomes prophetic.
Very prophetic.
Looking down. Imagine if somebody would have said to Peter that morning, well, you know, people in the 21st century are still going to be knowing what you just did.
Yeah.
He would have not even known how to respond to that.
Yeah. It goes back to the prayer of Jesus in, you know, in the chapter of John that he's praying, you know, Lord, let them, you know, for those who hear their preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And all those who are going to hear their preaching that he prays for.
Yeah.
You know, that's all of us.
Yeah. And then they realized, how this change had come upon them. I mean, they knew something had happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because just, you know, 9 or 10 days before that, Jesus had said to them, you know, don't do anything till the Spirit comes. Don't leave the city.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed in the upper room and they prayed.
Yeah.
They were getting themselves ready. They knew something was going to happen. And he had told them that John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus knew what their nature was like, knew what their situations were. He knew their weaknesses. I mean, after all, he had just spent 3 years with them. So he knew these guys pretty well. So he says, you go and you get ready. You don't leave the city. And then all of a sudden, when this, you know, in another place, he calls it the promise of the Father. When the Spirit is poured out on these guys, and women, they're just totally transformed in this preaching and evangelization. You know, this kind of free flow of the Spirit starts.
Yeah.
Now you notice Peter doesn't say, well, guys, let's stop. Let's just sit here for a while and try to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just, you know, get some more coffee and let's sit down and discuss this. He just bolts right out and starts preaching on the street.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't wait around. He doesn't tell anybody anything. He just goes out and start preaching.
Yeah.
We don't know what the other guys are doing, but they're probably doing pretty similar things as well. Maybe in a different part of the city. They're on a different street corner, but they didn't sit around and decide to have a meeting of what this actually meant. You know, they were, the Spirit was flowing. You know, they had been praying. They had been getting themselves ready. They had been docile. They had been available. And so when the Spirit falls, they just swing into action. Yeah. They're ready.
And, you know, their remark, the ones who scoffed and said, well, they've got too much wine. You know, they're full of new wine. And, you know, Peter stands up with the 11 and raises his voice and says, you who are Jews, indeed, all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose.
Yeah.
It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
Yeah.
And he quotes from what was spoken to the prophet Joel.
Yeah.
You know, and he keeps on exhorting them. You who are Israelites, hear these words. You know, and he talks about Jesus of Nazareth was the man, you know, condemned to death. And he goes on from there.
Yeah.
And so this whole sermon, Bible teaching transpires and they're cut to the heart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Holy Spirit, and that's one of the actions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will enable the person who speaks, but the Holy Spirit will also make fertile the person who's listening, mm-hmm. their heart and their ears.
Yes.
He will open their ears.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, because it's saying the Jews that were gathered there in Jerusalem, they're hearing them speak in their own native language. And they're like, how do they know our language? They're not from, you know, Mesopotamia and
all these places.
So not only did the Holy Spirit give the apostles the ability to speak in a new language, but it also gave these people the ability to hear in their own language, because some, obviously the ones who said they're scoffing and they've had too much wine to drink, they weren't hearing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there, not everybody was getting it at first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like Paul says, things of the Spirit are foolishness to those that are in the world.
Right.
But, you know, I wonder sometimes people who knew Peter might have been standing there listening to him going, wait a minute, is that the same guy? We never heard him talk like that before.
Wasn't that the guy that was,
yeah, I never heard him quote Joel chapter 2 before. I didn't really know what Joel was. Ooh, shofars.
The trumpet blast of the Lord.
First break in today's show. This is our Pentecost show. Remember, Gift of Grace is on the World Wide Web at giftofgraceministries.org. And on Facebook, you can search for Gift of Grace. Leave Stephen and I a message or make some comments about the show or say whatever you want as long as it's nice. and we're going to listen to some music here during a break, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. We offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. Purify us with your holy fire. Holy fire, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy name. You are the Holy One, highly exalted.
one like you. Come now and fill this place. Be exalted in our praise. Let it be known today that you are God. You are God.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Steve and I are talking about Pentecost, talking about the Holy Spirit falling on the 120 people in the upper room and what happened as a result. And we, before the break there, we were talking about people saying, wow, what's with this? You know, we hear them in our own language. Peter's out there preaching like a crazy man where yesterday we saw him like running around hiding from everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, is this the same guy? Because now such a transformation's taken place. And I'm sure that these guys were thinking back of when Jesus said, you know, another paraclete is going to come. And when the paraclete's going to come, he's going to show you what I said. He's going to remind you of what I said. He's going to empower you to do these things. And they had been transformed by, in a very powerful way. I mean, many of us, and I'm sure many of you that are listening have had the experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, and maybe you didn't see tongues of fire come down. I didn't when I had it. And maybe you didn't hear a driving wind. I didn't hear that when I had it, but I knew something had happened that was totally different than anything else that I had ever experienced.
Yeah.
Because a transformation took place in a very powerful way.
Yeah, I can remember there was a time where my wife and I, Sandy, went on a retreat down in Texas with Father DeGrandis, and there was a group of people that were praying over me, and you know, they were praying in tongues, and all of a sudden the prayer tongues got really strong.
Mm.
And I have to admit I was taken back by it. I didn't know, you know, it was stronger than what I have ever experienced. But then this peace came over me, and I knew that was okay, but there was just such an anointing that happened right there.
Mm-hmm.
That I, you know, by the grace of God that I experienced. So it's, you know, when the presence of God comes, it's, and I know people have talked about this as well, is that they felt the heaviness and the weight of God's glory.
Yes.
Almost to the point where they couldn't breathe.
Yes.
You know, and it's almost, you know, they're like, it's suffocating, you know, and then they have to say, Lord, I can't take anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard to describe the holiness of God and the fullness of God unless you've actually experienced some of these things that we're talking about.
Exactly.
But it's real. It happens. Mm-hmm. And it still happens today.
Yes.
You know, there's people that get the gift of tongues. And they start speaking in a tongue that they've never spoken before. Mm-hmm. Father John Hamps talks about this in one of his books about receiving the gift of tongues, where people are at a prayer meeting or at a conference and someone's baptized in the Holy Spirit. They start speaking, you know, for example, there was somebody who was, they started speaking in an Indian language, Hopi mm-hmm. Indian language. And, you know, this one gentleman who's there says, He's proclaiming the works of God. And he's like, I'm hoping.
He was a Hopi Indian.
He was a Hopi Indian. And he's like, I understand what he's saying.
See? There you go.
And, you know, this person never spoke a word of that before. So it still happens today.
Yeah. That's real Pentecost stuff.
That's real Pentecost stuff.
Yeah. And although the 120 people in the upper room, they were in Jerusalem, which, you know, the holy city, when this happened. You know, you were in Texas and it happened. I was in Strongsville, Ohio, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing in the Bible about Strongsville, Ohio.
Nor Texas.
But
never thought
there
would happen
I
in
was
Texas.
in a very similar way with two women praying over me, and I could hear them praying, and my mind went out into a whole different place. And I saw words of scripture on the sides of walls, and I heard Jesus say, this is all going to be real to you. Tell everyone about me. And I was so overwhelmed by this that when they were done praying, I literally could not stand up. I mean, I was sitting in a chair, so or else otherwise I'd have fallen over.
Yeah.
But I was sitting in a chair. I could not get up out of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the women said to me, the Lord just gave you the gift of evangelization. And I felt like saying, I know, I just experienced it, but I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
I was just sitting back in the chair like I was drunk, you know, like these guys. And then when I got up and somebody said, oh, there's, you know, refreshments in the other room. I didn't care one bit about the refreshments. I was kind of like literally staggering around the place.
Yeah.
Like somebody who was drunk.
Yeah.
So when I read that account that you read from the book of Acts and somebody saying, oh, these guys have just had too much new wine, I always think about myself like, you know, kind of staggering around this room in Strongsville thinking, what's happening? Where am I? And
yeah.
I don't want any refreshments.
And, you know, like how long ago was that?
Oh, that was 1998, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, you see how God's word is fulfilled.
Yes.
You know, that word that woman spoke to you.
Yeah.
I remember my wife and I went up to Toledo for a conference, and this was right after we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this one woman comes up to me, and I believe it was Psalm 86, and she goes, I got this psalm for you. You're going to be singing the praises of God.
Wow.
All the days of your life.
Awesome.
And it's like, and you know, I wasn't singing worship music or Christian songs, you
wow.
know. I wasn't at that point in time. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit for like 3 or 4 months, and I hadn't gotten back into music at that point yet. So when I got that
wow.
word, I was like, okay, well, but
little did you know.
Little did you know. Yeah, little did I know.
But you know, during these conferences or the Life in the Spirit seminars that we've mentioned from time to time, and you know, whatever it is that you've done in your church or home group or prayer group, or I'm a big fan of home groups and prayer groups.
Me too.
But you know, there's a certain preparation that takes place where you want to be available and you want mm-hmm. the gifts and you
right.
want to be open to the gifts. I mean, if you sit there and say, well, I don't know what these people are doing and I think this is all nonsense and gibberish and I don't wallow, blah, 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 you're not going to get gifts.
Right.
You're not going to suddenly, I mean, you might break out suddenly
yeah.
speaking in tongues, but the odds are much less
yeah.
than if you're prepared and you're open and you're docile and you realize that there isn't anything special about you in the sense of you're going to get it because you're a really holy guy or you've been so good for the last couple of weeks that
yeah.
now God's going to take a chance on you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with you.
No, it doesn't.
All you have to do is be available.
I mean, you can look at the apostle.
And open. Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to look at Saul, the apostle, you know, Saul,
yeah, exactly.
the apostle Paul, to realize that it was nothing about what he was doing because he was
right.
persecuting the church.
That's right.
And anytime, you know, God pulls us out of our sinfulness, God pulls us out of where we're at, he comes to us and meets us where we're at.
That's right.
And it even, you know, scripture even tells us Jesus didn't wait for us to be He came to us while we were still
sinners.
While we were still enemies with God,
yes.
as it says. And he pours out his love for us. He gives his life for us. And while it's possible that a person might give their life for a good person,
mm-hmm.
he gave his life for us while we were still sinners.
That's right.
And
most
so,
people wouldn't die for an evil person.
No. But Jesus poured out his life for the whole world.
Yeah.
The good
exactly.
and the bad. Yeah.
Maybe we should do a radio show on the Roman road. This would be good.
That would
but
be
anyway,
good.
Yeah, while we were still sinners, he died for us.
Yeah.
And these men and women who were in that upper room, who were now out preaching, they had seen him die.
Yeah.
They had heard him preach. They had heard him teach. You know, when we talked about the show we did about casting out into the deep, you know, and
right.
they saw amazing things happen despite what they thought of, well, what does this guy know about fishing? You know, we're the fishermen. You know, the woman at the well, remember her saying,
yeah.
you didn't even have a bucket. How are you going to get water?
Yeah. Are you greater than our ancestor David?
Yeah. It's you know, they had all these experiences with Jesus of Nazareth that they knew there was something special about.
Yeah.
But now this was a whole different story, because now when they're empowered by the Spirit, they've been transformed.
Yeah.
They've gotten the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul sums it up that no one can even say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit.
Except by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, to say Jesus is Lord, I mean, that's one of the, that's the most intimate way of knowing God. It's our relationship with God.
Right.
The plan of salvation was that God was going to send his only son.
Yeah.
And that we were going to have this salvation and relationship through him and with him.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't know that unless the Holy Spirit acts on us.
Right.
Because it's outside of our human experience.
Yeah.
And he even teaches us to pray. You know, Romans 8:26, it's, we don't even know how to pray.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that a little bit on the last show. But, you know, all of a sudden the Spirit comes into us and all these prayers start coming out of us.
Yeah. You know, and you look at what happened to Zechariah when he, yeah, when he was able to speak again. He gets this awesome, yeah, awesome prophecy.
That scary angel.
Yeah, that scary angel.
You don't want to mess with
you look at Elizabeth when, yeah, when Mary's, you know, the greeting of Mary's words reached Elizabeth's ears, the babe, you know, John the Baptist leapt in her womb, and then she proclaims out, how is it that the mother of my Lord,
amen,
should come to me?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Elizabeth's, yeah, filled with the Spirit. Mary's filled with the Spirit.
John's leaping
for joy. He's doing like praise and worship in the womb.
In the womb. Yeah, filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. So it's, there's, you know, it's just amazing what the Holy Spirit does and how the Holy Spirit just transforms, yeah, and gives new life.
Yeah. New life.
The fullness
new everything.
Of life.
And,
everything.
And think about, you know, I just mentioned a minute ago about we don't know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can sit there and pray, Lord, I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. I want this to happen, and I really need this. So can you please get me this, and please do this, and please, yeah, get my boss off my back, and please get me a raise this year, and please have my kid get a nice college. I mean, you know, the prayers can be, you know, self-centered.
Yeah.
It's about me. But now when the Spirit has acted on you, you pray in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And you were talking about doing music. I mean, that's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the prayer is giving glory and praise.
Right.
And isn't saying, hey, listen, God, when you got a minute, I really need this stuff done. So
yeah,
I hope you can get on this pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, when you're praying about some things, you know, it's people will say, well, you got to be careful what you pray for. Cause you're like, if you're praying, oh man, my boss is really bad and I get this guy off my back. Yeah. And then when you lose your job, it's, yeah, like, oh, wait a minute. Did I pray for that?
Yeah. And then you have this desire to evangelize because you want to spread this good news. Because when you have this experience, you don't want to just sit in the family room and say, wow, I had such a great experience. I think I'll watch some TV.
Yeah.
Or I think I'll just take a nap now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you have this desire. Like the woman at the well went and got everybody and said, come and see who I met. Andrew went and got Peter and said, hey, come and see this guy we just,
yeah,
met. All these other people. And you have this desire to do this because you know that your life has been changed and you now have a different level of thought about what's important and what the center of your life is. The center of your life is no longer you.
Yeah.
You know, we always say it's not about you. It doesn't become any more solely about your job and your laundry list of things that you want and,
right,
your wish list and the cosmic bellhop kind of thing. Like, come and do this for me, Lord, because, yeah, you know, I'm busy.
Yeah.
It's, you've got a whole different mindset now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're filled with the glory of, you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God. And, as you were talking, you know, there were a couple things that were coming to mind about how the Holy Spirit, as the preparation, like you were talking about preparation, you know, some of these programs that'll prepare the person to receive. And I have to think back in my own life, there was a whole time of preparation where my wife and I were going through a difficult time where she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. We didn't have a relationship with God. We weren't going to church. And, you know, she just cried out one day, you know, Lord, if you can take this from me, please do. And next week, we got invited to her sister's church to go to a healing service. And people pray, you know, they laid hands on her, prayed, and, we gave our, you know, there was an altar call.
Mm-hmm.
We went and did the altar call and repented and of our sins and gave our lives to the Lord. And over the next year, you know, I was praying for my wife, but then over the next year, we were praying even more. So through that whole action of praying, repenting, I remember I bought a program, that I thought, well, my wife could probably use this in her line of work. And it was, from rut to recovery when you get into a rut. And I remember putting this CD in my car and I'm driving out to work. And I start weeping.
Mm.
You know, I bought it for her, mm-hmm. but it was really for really for me.
Yeah.
So the Lord was, you know, the Lord kept on cleansing and cleansing and cleansing. And then when our hearts were ready,
mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, he placed the Holy Spirit in our hearts to cry out, Abba, Father. It, you know, with the music, I could play all the music I want. But if I'm not worshiping God,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not singing to the lover of my soul, it's God who anoints the music.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people that do praise and worship music, and some are called, some are not. Some are imitating, you know, and, is that a bad thing? No. But there's you got to know the call that God has on your life. You got to know the anointing that God's placed mm-hmm. on your life if you want to serve Him to the fullness. And that really takes prayer, discernment, and stepping away from my own ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like St. John or John the Baptist, I must decrease, He must increase. And if I want to serve the Lord in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I've got to decrease my own personal human ambitions and say, Lord, I'm going to lay everything out for you. I'm going to lay my life down before you at the foot of your cross. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Send me forth and use me the way that you want me to. And show me the path that you want me to be on.
That's right. Good point. And that's equivalent to these people that were in the upper room praying
mm-hmm.
before the Holy Spirit fell.
Right.
It's a preparation time. And it's being open, being available.
Right.
And, you know, you just summarize that beautifully. It's, you know, the things that hinder the Spirit from working, you know, we have all around us.
Yeah.
Pride and independence and self-reliance and, oh, I'm self-sufficient. I can take care of my problems. I'll take care of my own life. Thank you very much. Just leave me alone. And I got to go to work now, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. And, you know, I can take care of this. I can take care of that.
Culturally, we are really programmed to be self-sufficient.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different mindset. The Holy Spirit's not going to be able to work. And that doesn't just happen in people's day-to-day lives. It even happens in churches. People say, you know, we don't need that kind of thing here. We're just going to sing a couple of songs, and we're going to read this reading, and we're going to hear a little message to make us feel good. And just tell us that everything is okay. You know, like Jeremiah the prophet, you know, the wailing prophet, you know, he was saying there's going to be destruction coming. You people have fallen away. You're being idolaters. You're going to be punished. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, please get rid of this guy. Would you? We want some guy who's going to bring us good news. You know, so we don't want to hear all this bad news.
That was this gloom and doom stuff.
Yeah. So let's, you know, let's have a pastor that comes and tells us everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry. Everything's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the disciples, however, they had gone through an experience of 3 years with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and they had been broken. They had been changed. Their lives had been changed. They weren't in the fishing business anymore. They weren't, you know, tax collectors anymore. They weren't whatever the other guys, you know, a couple of them were working at 7-Eleven, and then they went and followed him, and, you know, their careers have kind of changed, and they realized they saw him die on the cross.
Yeah.
And they, you know, as these experiences happened, they realized that their lives were way different than they had expected them to be.
Yeah.
And then that Pentecost morning, that all becomes crystal clear to them.
Yeah.
Because now they realize why these things had happened. They realize now that this whole thing is not about them, this plan of salvation that they're now involved in. Because, you know, when you think about it, he uses us in his plans despite all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, you know, Matthew was a tax collector. Hey, it's okay. Come on. You know, Peter and Andrew are a fishing business. Okay. Come on. Now you're going to do this. The other guys that were working at 7-Eleven, come on, forget 7-Eleven. Yeah. Now you're going to do this.
Yeah.
And this is what it's about. It wasn't about them.
Yeah.
But they became open to the Spirit changing them and transforming them.
Amen. Amen.
Woo. Another break already.
Wow.
Wow. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org, and search for us on Facebook and leave us some comments about the show or some comments about us or whatever you want to, whatever comments you want to leave. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about some other ministry opportunities. Let's listen to Paul Wilbur.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
Cry of our hearts, come, O conquering King. And every eye will see your glory fill the sky. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, here Jerusalem waits, praises lifted on high. Hear the beautiful gates, long to see you arise. And all of Zion sings, Baruch Haba Hashem.
The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Gift of Grace. We're kind of winding up now on our Pentecost show. Well, I can't believe we only have a few minutes left.
I know.
We got a lot of stuff we still could cover. Anyway, Steve, go ahead with what you wanted to do.
Yeah, when we were coming up on the last break, I wanted to go back to Luke chapter 5. When Jesus first calls Simon, he's fishing. It's nighttime. They haven't caught anything all night. And he says, put out your nets. And they do so. And the catch was so great that they had to have help pulling in the nets.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before Jesus died.
Mm-hmm.
After he dies and is risen, he appears to the seven disciples. And this is in John. That was in the first encounter was Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Mm-hmm. You can read that. After he's risen, if we go to John chapter 21, he asked them, children, have you caught anything to eat? They said, no. Cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something. So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And they were astonished at this catch of fish.
Mm.
Okay. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2 when Peter gives this first. He goes out into the crowd and says, all of Israel, hear my words. Now, Jesus said, you'll be fishing for men.
Yes.
And this great catch, this great harvest of souls comes into the kingdom. 3,000, much more than 150 fish or whatever their nets could hold. You know, as we're talking, I often reflect as we're talking about the scriptures, what was going through Peter's mind when all this happened?
Yeah.
I mean, can you, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, I can't imagine what I would be thinking because I'm seeing this fulfilled. You would be seeing this fulfilled and in probably total astonishment and amazement.
Sure.
And really humbling because it wasn't of him.
Yes.
It was all of God.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah. That's awesome. It would, you know, someday we'll get to ask him how he felt when that happened.
Yeah.
When we take him to Starbucks. But yeah, it's radical. I mean, the whole, I think radical is the best word.
Yeah.
These guys were so transformed that it was radical.
Right.
We don't see the radicalness of it because we're kind of used to it. But while it's happening and the fact that their background was in the Tanakh and the Torah and the prophets, to now all of a sudden they realize this is Messiah.
Yeah.
This is what everything's been pointed to. Then, filled with the Spirit, we just have to go all over the world and proclaim this.
Yeah.
It's a sovereign act of God that they're empowered and renewed this way.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has happened all through, you know, the 2,000 years of Christian history. And it's still happening today.
Mm-hmm.
People's lives are transformed. People want to share the good news. It's happened to you and I. It's happened to many people that we know. And it's happened to people in different denominations. And it's happened to people that within denominations. And the kind of cool thing is that no matter what denomination you're in, you realize that the Spirit's acted on this person just like he's acted on you. And you already have kind of this bond where you can have fellowship together and pray together and worship together and hang out together.
Right.
Even though you're go to different churches.
Right. I think that's a very important point that you're bringing up is because in some conversations that I have with people today, it's almost like we're going back to pre-Holy Spirit days when the Jews believed that this was for them and the Holy Spirit was then poured out upon the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they received that because they saw the glory of God revealed in it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think sometimes today, us Gentiles in our Gentile churches are splintered. You're a Baptist, you're a Catholic, you're Protestant, you're evangelical. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? And it's almost like we're going back to, how could you get the Holy Spirit? Well, hello, we're all Gentiles.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's like,
yeah. And, you know, we have these things in common. It's, you know, in Revelation 21:5, God says, I make all things new.
Exactly.
You know, the Spirit falls and makes all things new.
Exactly.
You know, Psalm 104, verse 30 says, he renews the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the church has, in a large part, has gotten away from that.
Right.
And they've gotten within their, whatever their institutions are, whatever their government structures are, whatever their bureaucracies are. They've been influenced by the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we better not be doing stuff like that because people will think we're crazy.
Yeah.
We better just make everybody feel good.
Yeah.
And this is why evangelization, you know, that kind of thing doesn't let evangelization go on.
Right.
And in Titus chapter 3, this is verse 4 to 6, Paul writes, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." He pours the Spirit out on us without measure, without limit.
Amen.
And we're the vessels. You know, we're, you know, 2 Corinthians, he says, we're just clay vessels. And yeah. We have this glory inside of us. We've been immersed with this. And in such a powerful way now, we can proclaim it to others.
Yeah.
And not worry about what people think, and not worry about what the world thinks,
yeah.
And not worry about what the guy sitting next to you thinks, or the guy at Starbucks thinks.
Yeah.
This is our mission.
Yeah, I mean, scripturally, even, I think it's Paul that says, "Do you not know you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells within you?"
Yes.
And, you know, as the body of believers, we've gotta understand, you know, like whether you're Jew or Gentile, servant or slave, you know, or servant or slave. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You know, slave or free, we're all one in Messiah.
Man.
And he, you know, the salvation that was poured out for us on the cross and the Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles is the same Holy Spirit that comes to us today.
Amen. Wow. Well put. Good way to close the show.
Amen.
Wow.
Thanks, Lord.
Amen. Well, end of another show. This has been good. We'll be back again next Saturday evening with you. So I hope you have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow.
And we hope you've had an awesome Pentecost Day filled with the Holy Spirit.
And just preach the word with boldness.
And love.
And love.
Amen.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.